Hello and welcome to Raiders Review with Blake and the Pork. I'm the Pork.
I'm Blake.
I'm Leno.
Matthew's here as well, aren't you, Matthew?
Yeah.
Come on, Pork.
Yeah, I don't know.
There are reasons to be cheerful, Pork. I'll get there.
Really? There's reason to be cheerful. Yeah. Is there? Right. Yeah. Coming to you from the filthiest storeroom buried somewhere in Bowser's civic location we will never reveal, will we, Blake?
I will if we get a halfback this year.
Yeah. Anyway,
bring back the shoe man. Bring back the shoe man. I'm calling for it now. Send an SOS to the UK. He's been playing well.
Has he?
He's actually, I think he and Brodie Croft are actually a halves partner. Maybe we could get them both.
Right. That sounds great. I mean, anyway. this is why we can't have nice things, people. Why can't we have nice things? Is there a reason we can't have nice things? Does the universe just want to punish us? Is there something cruel, unusual deity out there who believes that the best thing they can do is make the Raiders fans miserable? Is that what their mission is? Because it feels like it this week. That's what it feels like.
At the start of the year, look, we said that we could actually, you know, do better than people's expectations on the back of Jamal. And obviously, though, he was the most important player. He needed to stay fit. He got injured. It was funny, you know, 3 or 4 weeks into the season, I thought, gee, we're having a good run with injuries so far. There was only really been Elliott with his old man calf. But then it's just been like bang, 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 you know.
Yep, smashed. Absolutely smashed.
Hoskins, Fogarty, Big Horse Red. Bro. Yep.
And I can't help thinking that, you know, one of you two has engineered this deliberately so my top four prediction wouldn't come true. You know, that's how petty I think you are sometimes.
I didn't think you'd be this down. I thought you'd be coming in here and you'd say, top four still on, the kids are going to do it. This will be the season that we remember. It'll be like the Supermax all over again. I'm disappointed in you, Puck. The Raiders are finally, they're finally broken you.
Don't let an injury in a rain-soaked game on a pitch that, you know, in a stadium that we've often struggled with a team that's super young, affected too much, mate. Like, we, at the beginning of the year, the majority of Raiders fans were looking at, you know, some grass sprouts and potentially the end of this year or 2025. They came early.
Yeah.
And now we're going to get the chance to, you know, like, also see KO Weeks and see some other players. I mean, a lot of the players that have started first grade this year have played over expectation. Sasangi's playing great. Chevy, you know, he had a bit of a rough weekend, but he'll be better for it.
We'll get to it. Let's get into the news anyway. So it's not all doom and gloom. There's some fantastic news we've been talking about for a long time. We even sort of jumped the gun and put his nickname on a t-shirt towards the end of last year. But the Colonel, Ethan Sanders,
such a good nickname that I know our friends at the Green Machine Podcast have stolen it.
Well, anyway,
they're just sharing it. It's a great nickname.
Exactly. Exactly. It just caught on. It's a good nickname. But he signed for 3 years. There's a 10-day calling off period, which we think we may be about 7 days into. It's unclear, but
it ends on Sunday.
Yeah, it's pretty clear that he is going to come. I mean, he has finally been named at seven to play for the Eels after that disastrous.
He's named at six,
half.
But he'll play seven. He's an out-and-out seven. He's named at six, but that doesn't mean anything. It's just there's probably something specific about why Brad doesn't want to give him the seven jersey. And maybe that's because the seven jersey's famous under Peter Sterling. I don't know. Anyone that talks to you about Colonel will say that he is a out-and-out seven. He's not one of these utility players that can kind of play both spots, and that's where we're in a bit of bother this year, you know. Like, we've got 1-7 at the club. I guess you could say Adam Cook's a seven, but we've got 2 sixes, and some might even think Strange is a center, and he certainly plays six, like a running six, and could be a center.
KO
Weeks is a six plus fullback. Like, we've got two guys, but people are
trying to push the fact that He's a center over a six. I think he's a six. I think he always has been a six. I think he played, you know, State of Origin Blues in the center because that's where they could fit him into the team, and maybe he played a bit of New South Wales Cup.
I thought he played six for New South Wales in the center.
Nah, center.
He's in the center. He was right center.
But look, the way that he runs and the way that he plays, he's more like a Tomoko than an average six. But because he's, but you know, like developing your ball skills, developing your hands, that can't come easy, you know. And his kind of thing is to get the ball, jump around and pull someone under. As far as, and that's how we scored the try, I think with Hudson Young. But as far as a couple of weeks ago, but as far as like a traditional six and seven, I don't mind the way that we're going to attack this game. We're going to attack it with pace. We're going to attack it around the ruck. This is this weekend. We're going to miss the one thing that we're going to miss, and there's no
it's
way
kicking
we can
game.
Replace it.
It's obviously, kicking game. It's kicking game. We're going to sort of jump ahead of the news a bit, but I really hope that, and we're kind of talking about this game coming up, but I really hope that we don't go ultra conservative, because we've had a pretty conservative game plan, but it's on the back of the strong kicking. And I think the tendency and everything Ricky said has said they're going to keep it very, very simple. And, you know,
but he said that in the past. He said that in the past, and then we blew out Parramatta. He said we're going to play simple. I have a feeling nothing's going to change down the left because we've got that whole left-hand side. Strange is still going to play the way that he plays down the left. Down the right is where it's going to change slightly. But it could just mean earlier ball to Mocker. And KO Weeks is quick. He's very quick. So
you mentioned Adam Cook. In some ways, Adam Cook would have been a more logical replacement, although he would have to, I guess, jump the queue on KO Weeks. Because if you watch New South Wales Cup, Adam Cook's been the dominant half.
Yeah, he runs
by far. And Weeks has looked good in patches. But for a lot of the time, you kind of forget that he's out there, I've noticed.
Yeah, he drifts in and out of games. You definitely notice when he gets in a half break because he's very fast.
Yeah.
Defensively, they're going to go him. But, you know, look what they did to Chevy on the weekend. Look what Cronulla did to Strange a few weeks ago. So it's definitely
going to someone's going to be targeted. Someone's going to, you know. And we'll have players on their side that we'll target as well. Other interesting thing about Adam Cook is, you know, he was at the club. He was playing mostly fullback in New South Wales Cup 2 years ago. Then they sort of let him go. He went back up to Queensland, played in Q Cup. He only came back down because of the tragic passing of Dargan in the offseason.
That's who would be our seven, you'd think.
Yeah. And he can't play, though, now anyway, because he's outside the top 30. So he can't. I don't think he can. Isn't there the rule that you can't bring in players outside the top 30 until
I don't think he can come in, but it reeks of, and I don't want to come back to 93 and my upset, but it reeks of Trevor Shadell. You know, you don't want to bring someone up and absolutely just smash them in that position at this stage. I think it's the right thing to bring up Weeks because he's sort of in that plan. And I'd be worried about bringing up Cookie and him just getting ripped apart. It'd be
Well, in 93, they went Trevor Shadell 1 week. Steve Stone was the next week. And because he looked a bit like Ricky, so they thought that they'd put him
in. Why not?
And then, and then finally, they went out in straight sets, but the final game, they actually put Laurie
at seven.
And that was the best that we looked with out of all three of those options, which got me thinking about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why not just pick the best player available and put him in that spot?
They might have. This is
I think that's what they've done. I think that's
because
exactly
if you think
what they've done.
Bring back Rapper and play him at seven.
Surgery. But if you think about this, the game against the Cows at Seaford, this was our halves pairing, and they didn't look too bad, and their kicking wasn't too bad.
No.
So, you know, I think we're going to upset the Sharks this weekend. We've been fantastic at home.
Oh, you're so confident.
No,
you know, interesting stat
I think we will win.
Stat that Danny Stewart hit me up with during the week. We've beaten the Sharks at home. I know, obviously, we had the incredible record against the Sharks that got broken recently, but we've still beaten the Sharks at home six times in a row. The last time we lost to the Sharks was the would have been that 2019 semi that we've lost them at home.
Ah, the Michael Innes.
Yeah.
My goodness gracious me.
Had to pass it.
No, it wasn't him. It was who went from dummy half.
Baptiste.
The break.
Kurt the Baptiste went from dummy half, and all he had to do was pass right, and it's a try, and the game's different, you know? Yeah. Oh, but, I mean, you go back, and you look, James Maloney is 2 metres offside and makes the tackle. He should have been sin-binned. You know, these days it would be a penalty try. It was so bad. Look, no, I think you're right. I think they've gone the best option here. Our problem is going to be this. Taps is, no questions asked, the captain, right? He's the captain, but he's not always on the field. Well, what Fogarty's been doing is he's been leading the team around the field, giving him...
Well, he's vice-captain.
Yeah, he's been given solidity, that direction around there. Now, you're coming back to a stage where you've got the six and the seven who are kids. You know, the seven's coming in and...
Someone needs to be appointed vice-captain, though. And I'm assuming from all the talk that they had in the past, it's probably going to be Hudson Young. Because
Yeah.
didn't Jamal sort of toss his name up as potentially as the vice captain? And
Yeah, but
who
I'm
else is there?
looking. There is a person, there is a man who I believe has the experience and the guile and the resilience and in the middle of the field to actually be able to take on the mantle of leadership and directing the boys and geeing them up in that stage. And he lives on an island. He lives on an
I mean, he's
island.
not going to be on the whole time either. There's going to be
No,
times
but
when
he's
he's.
not. But while he's on, I believe he will have a fair hand in actually keeping the side together and doing that leadership role, and performing that because he's the logical person to do it.
Do you know who I
He's
think would
fit.
actually be a really good call? Sorry, Matt. Morgan Smithies.
Well, just to both your points, they talk more than anyone else out in the defensive line. So they're very vocal. And look, Danny Levi put that kick through. If it wasn't for the fingertips of Hudson Young on the weekend, he'd have
That
a
was
try assist.
beautiful. That was
Yeah.
Danny Levi's finest moment. I was so happy for you, Matt, when that happened. And then, oh no.
According to some of the guys on the greenhouse, there's some creativity around the ruck, you schmucks. Come on.
That
But no, like that, we'll get
was
to it.
beautiful.
But that, we're going to need some of those players, that have now played 50 to 100 games, and Levi's definitely in that category. And Smithy's won a grand final or made it to the grand final in the Super League last year to be a bit more vocal. They already are in defence, So we're getting back to some good form with certain players like Hudson Young, and I'd certainly think we can get over the top of this side. They've got a rookie in the centres, Kai Iro. They've got a young kid playing 5'8".
Yeah. Let's
You
cover off on the
know,
news and then we'll
they're all.
talk a
No, I
bit more
agree with
about
you,
the
Matthew.
Broncos
Yeah,
game.
no, look, I don't think
And
all is
then,
lost, Matthew. I agree with you, but at the same time.
well, you'll have him by the end of the episode, Matt. He'll be just springing out reasons to be cheerful. He'll be singing, he'll be dancing.
Look, rugby league, the hardest thing in rugby league, and we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, the hardest thing in rugby league is to be able to consistently play to an effort level week in, week out. Penrith have managed to do that. And the way that you see that is through defence. They've been the best defensive side for years. The Raiders were getting back to some of those levels this year, but we're a young side and we cannot expect them to play up to that standard every week. So let's not get too despondent about the result on the weekend because if it wasn't for Chevy learning the position of being out of place a few times, we would have been in that game. We had a better possession, better percentage
Completion.
handling rate, completion rate in the first half. They were getting lucky off fifth try options. Yes, they had a couple of tries to Reece Walsh with a couple of, and I've got a few bones to pick with some of our defensive reads, but who hasn't he stripped on the
No,
outside
it's
shoulder this
amazing.
year? So,
Amazing.
and if it wasn't for a few of those things and Fogarty going down, that game's completely different and the narrative's different. And now we're just looking at a very, very different makeup, and our side's going to have to change, and that's going to be okay. We're still sitting in the top eight. We're not Parramatta. We're not the Roosters. We're not Souths burning down the house. We're a club that gets together and bands together, and we've got an opportunity to get around the player that up until the last trial was probably going to be at the six at the Raiders
Yeah.
until Ethan Strange stole it off him. So we're probably bringing in a high standard, high quality player who I know when we played Manly, Blacktown, at North Sydney Oval, and they almost beat us in the semi-finals of the Cup last year, he was their best player. So there are reasons to be cheerful, but that's all in the news, and I'm rambling on a little bit. So what else have we got to talk about,
So
mate?
Josh Papali'i has taken up, or by mutual consent, he's signed on for another year. There were some people trying to say that this would be his last year, which I never agreed with. But yeah, he's taken up the option. And I think they've actually gone early because for the option to be triggered, he had to play a certain amount of games, first grade games this year, which he obviously hasn't played already. But it's been pretty clear since the preseason, since round one, that he's been looking really good. And look, he's definitely our second best middle. So great news that he's going to go around at least for one more year
Yeah,
after
and
this year.
he played his biggest minutes of the season on the weekend. He
He's
always
been
plays big in
fantastic.
Brisbane, yeah, because he has his family up there, but he was great on the weekend.
He's been fantastic all season. A couple of times I've called him for man of the match. You guys have ridiculed me, but I still stand by it. He's been fantastic. Huge moments, definitive moments in matches. Yeah, I'm very happy about him coming back on again for next year. So that will be season 14 in green. So from 2012 to 2025, that's 14 seasons. Going through there, that's got to be very close to a statue.
He's on track to play the most games. If he goes around another year, isn't he on track to play the most games ever? Because he'll hit 300 this year. And then how many? So how many games did Jason Croker play?
319, I believe.
So it'll if he stays fit the rest of this year and all next year, he should get past him.
Yeah, I think it's 319. I could be wrong.
But I'm gonna look it up now. I'm gonna
see that I have a few. See 309 or 319. It's one of the two. It's more than Tuitt's got. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, he got 300 and only a couple, and then one another couple.
302, 303, yeah, something like that.
So he played 318. Gee, you were close.
Yeah, I knew it.
So it's definitely.
It's possible, but I mean that's not what he's playing for now. He's playing to play the game as well as he does at this stage. And look, Tuitt's played.
He's doing it for the kids.
Yeah, Tuitt's played out his career. He did not play right to the end. He was a valuable player right to the end. There was no squeezing out to get a milestone from him. He was a great player. I was disappointed. I thought he went a year early when he retired. Clearly, he knew better.
Who?
He was in the tunnel after the Titans game.
Jason Croker. He played for 3 years at the Catalans.
Jason Croker. Yeah, yeah.
He played till he was like about 36 or something, 37. So, yeah, I don't. Yeah. He was a very durable guy. He didn't have a lot of injuries. That's for
it's
sure.
It's not just good for Papa and good for the club. It's fantastic for Tarpane to have his buddy there. You know what I mean? Like Tarpane's been our best player almost every game. And I mean, you text me during the week saying you feel sorry for him of how well he's playing. And I just love to know that Tarpane's getting better and better. And in the last two or three seasons, he's arguably one of our top three props of all time. At the Raiders, maybe top four. So you throw in Lazarus, Pongia, Papali'i, and Tarpane. Would they be the four?
I would have Lazarus, Papali'i, and Tarpane as the top three.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have Pongia ahead of those.
Yeah, and it's just that situation where to know that he's got someone who'll play, who he knows how to play, we play alongside him while we're still bringing through Ada, while we're still bringing through. Basami Solo's playing great. Trey Mooney's getting more minutes. You know, it's we've got the foundations of another solid forward pack. And the more I watch rugby league, the more I think you build a club around a prop or two and a halfback.
Mm.
And you know, and that's how you can build a strong squad. And teams that have done the opposite, they haven't figured it out, you know.
Yeah, well, that's the Bulldogs. But it seems to be working out okay. But the Bulldogs sort of gone outside in. They haven't sort of built the...
Because
their weakest spots
are those two.
Prop and halfback, yeah. But that's also, I guess, a sign of, you know, there's halfbacks definitely, there's not that many, you know, good ones to go around. Other bit of news, bit of a shock, Braden Trindle would be lining up against us this weekend and had a great game against us when they beat us, you know, a few weeks ago. He's tested positive for alcohol and drugs roadside. So he's been stood down until he goes to court in mid-May. It's pretty sad, I gotta say.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Hopefully he gets the help that he needs because, you know, on one hand, obviously it's in some ways going to benefit us this weekend. You never want to sort of take joy or celebrate the fact that someone's doing that sort of stuff. So, yeah.
No, it's just unfortunate because he's a good player. I enjoy watching him play. And, you know, he was kept out of the side by Matt Moylan. And he's got himself back in the side. He's been playing good football. He played very well against us. He's a likable young man. And he's just gone and had a brain fart and got himself in trouble. And it's a bit disappointing, actually.
They're a much better team when he plays. He has a great connection with Will Kennedy. They kind of play a similar type of game. And I mean, I'm glad he's not playing this weekend because it's all going to come down to ruck speed in this game.
Yeah.
They have Trindle plays with a bit of depth, and we all know how flat Nico Hines plays. He's the most lateral halfback in the competition. And if we can win a little bit of that ruck speed, Nico has no time, and we'll win the game. The problem is there's such a different interpretation from referee to referee that the week before when we played the Warriors in New Zealand, we were allowed to get away with blue murder in the ruck, and so were they. The next game, the ruck speed was half as fast. It was twice as fast. So if they get quick ruck play, Nico Hines has a field day and he can crab across. But if we get better ruck speed, I hope he has a game like when we played them at the Magic Round in Brisbane a couple of years ago and they shifted him to fullback and he was terrible.
Oh, God, yes.
I remember. Yeah. So they've gone with Daniel Atkinson at six. Not because I thought it would be Cade Dykes for sure, as did our friends over at the Sharks Fins Up Sharks podcast.
Shout out, Subbo Dan.
Yeah, he's blown a gasket.
But he's ropeable.
He's always ropeable. Alrighty. Let's go into Grinds My Gears, Tim.
You know what really grinds my gears?
There has been something that grinds my gears. And you know what grinds my gears? Well,
honeydew melon and fruit salad. Have we had that one before?
No, honeydew melon and fruit salad is good as long as you've got good honeydew melon, good rock melon, and good watermelon, and put some mint through it, right? If you do that, it's fine. Honeydew's fine. But standing on its own, honeydew it doesn't run its own. You know, it's not a halfback.
You know, I'm sure I've done this before, but it is the seafood extender of fruit salad.
What about
buying
a blackberry punnet and only realizing that the top four blackberries are the ones that are fresh?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, and the rest underneath.
That must be an American thing.
Sure, you turn it upside down though, right, Matthew?
I do, but I don't think
we even have blackberries in Australia.
Yeah, of course
there's
we do.
Blueberries. There's blackberry bushes around Canberra.
Yeah, but they're poisoned. Don't eat
them. Very much.
Don't eat them. Stay away from the mushrooms.
What's a bit of poison? What's a bit of poison? God, sometimes I wonder about you. That you know, anyway. Aren't you Croatian? Aren't you meant to like the forest? You know, anyway, okay, what grinds my gears is this. I was going to say it for Ask Glam, but it grinds my gears, right? It's not enough that we have our good mate, Jamal Fogarty, do his bicep in the week. But then straight after this, we have Greg Mardo Martin, rugby union journalist, does the rugby union podcast, come out on Triple M and say, how come Ricky Stewart isn't under the microscope for having poor coaching results, a la looking at the South's bloke, looking at Brad Arthur, etc., and the pressure they're under. And it's like, well, here's the reason, Marto. Here's the reason, because he's got a really good coaching record. He's made a grand final. He's made preliminary finals. He's consistently made the finals with a side that everyone's constantly written off and said won't even make the top eight. And he keeps turning up and he keeps doing a good job and he keeps having the support of the supporters of the board and of the playing staff. That's why he's not under pressure. You absolute pillock. It grinds my gears.
Yeah, that's a ridiculous call.
It is. It's just someone who had nothing to say and wants to go for the low-hanging fruit of going out and preying on the Ricky haters, of which they're always out there. You can press that button and you'll always get ding, 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 because they're always out there. Speaking of Salo Dan, they're always out there. He was saying, oh, Ricky should be sacked after something. I said, mate, you think Ricky should be sacked when he has breakfast? He does. And those people exist. But people coming out there for this and just, it's the worst of the media. You know, if you haven't done any research, you've got nothing to say, sit in the corner and sing something. Don't come up with this troll.
Because it grinds me. Astute rugby league pundits were actually talking about how this could be Ricky's best ever coaching year. Previous to this game on the weekend. So now suddenly we play one of the first primetime games. So you're going to get on the radar of like a rugby union pundit.
Well, of Brisbane, it's Triple M Brisbane. So they probably wouldn't have watched any games. So they just saw us get touched up and they've reacted off that. But all these things are very clickbaity. You know what I mean? It's always very like, you know, I've got to think of something, got to choose something particularly controversial that one of us says on this and I'll post as a clip and we'll see if we can get.
But that Brisbane side, look, not to say that they're lucky, but they play a fluky type of football. Like that, they'll try their pass. They'll do these big midfield bombs. It's the way that they play is risk reward, and 9 times out of 10, because they have pace, it comes off.
Yeah,
but I don't.
They got some wonderful players. They got some incredible tries. But the thing that kind of you know we say every week, and we should not say this week going to the Sharks game is, look at our forward pack. Look at our bench, look at their forward pack, look at their bench, we're going to get over top of them. We got dominated by their pack again. I mean, Hetherington had a wow of a game, and I'm not just talking about that tackle, just throughout the whole game. And they just killed us in the forwards, I thought. You know, we can say the forwards did well, but really outside of Tarpany, we weren't great.
Do we play them again at home? Because we beat them. I'll put money on it right now.
Don't remember. When's the next buy, though? You could tell us that, can't you?
I don't rate
in 2 weeks. The buy's in 2 weeks. I've already checked.
Could come fast enough.
I'm really excited. I reckon when's Elliot Whitehead due back? Someone asked me. I said after the buy.
After the buy. After the buy. But maybe
Paddy
it's
Carrigan as well was outstanding.
He was
outstanding. I mean, I know, Tim, you don't rate him. I know you think last year he was lucky to get that 13 jumper.
Absolutely. Yeah. He should. And my question to you is, why don't you think Big Red should have that spot.
Because what he can't even get in the starting lineup of our team.
Yeah, piss off.
Not as good.
He'll fight and he'll win. You'll all see.
Pat Carrigan could be the Australian captain, mate. That's
yeah, he's unbelievable. He's unbelievable.
I'll take Big Red every day of the week over Pat Carrigan.
The other interesting thing that someone was saying, and I read somewhere, they were talking about how like Carrigan doesn't run at middles. He's always aiming at like he was running at Strange. He'd veer across and run.
Constantly.
Yeah.
And he usually takes the run after Payne Haas.
Yeah.
So that's without Haas there. Of course it is. But if
that's clever.
If Pat Carrigan doesn't run at middles, why Chevy Stewart?
Yeah, we'll get to that. Time for the favorite segment of the show.
Ass clown of the week.
All right, I'm going to lead it off. Former Raiders target. I think we were sort of told a couple of times he was on the verge of signing for the club, but Jack Hetherington, son of Raiders great Brett Hetherington. What a loose unit. What an idiot.
Yeah, that.
I mean, people are saying he was only joking because he had a smile on his face. But there's plenty of people that love getting to Blues and stuff, and will do them with a big smile on their face. And look, I'm not really all for this. Reed Marnie was mouthing off on the field, so he's only getting what he deserves. I mean, if you can't take a bit of sledging on the field and you have to punch someone, I don't know. He's a goose. And I think he's very lucky.
A very annoying man, but I mean, it's the barometer of whether you're a professional footballer. If you're going to get fired up by him, if he's going to get under your skin, well, you failed. That's the major thing. When horses come back after, people get under his skin all the time. It's the mark when a person goes from being a good player with lots of promise is when they stop letting people get under their skin.
Who is the biggest and best, arguably, sledger of all time?
Mick Ennis.
Ricky Stewart. And how many times, and that was in the old days, how many times did someone put one on his chin? I don't really recall it ever.
I do. But you do remember. Yeah, you remember. He picked, and it was at home, and he had a go when we were playing Balmain, and he had a go at Paul Sirinen, and he went over and he pushed him, and Ciro pushed him and put him on his ass, and the crowd cheered.
Do you remember that, Bella?
I think it's 92.
Marty Bella too. Marty Bella as well. He used to go Marty Bella.
Oh, yeah, Marty.
Everyone, Marty used to go egg farming.
Yeah, but Jack.
He used to go egg
Marty
farming.
Was a special case.
Mate, Jack Hetherington is 110 kilos and he's lining up in the tunnel to try and put one on the chin of Reed Marnie, who's 5'0" and 90 kilos. Idiot. What an idiot, mate. Like, honestly, if that was someone bigger, if that was Tarpany or Hudson Young or back in the day, David, the old Tarpany.
Tarpany's super mellow these days, but he used to be the biggest pothead in the team.
And regardless of whether you think Hetherington was going to do something or not, he was clearly escalating the situation. Yeah. And, we don't need to see a Greg Dowling fight going to the tunnel like in the Anzac test.
No, well, that's the reason why they send them to the tunnel separately now, is so you try and avoid that sort of battle of Rafael to Marty Greg Dowling, scenario. But Hetherington actually saw him coming up the thing.
He came back out.
Yeah, but where were the Knights people telling him anyway?
And now he's been suspended for a week. And so
one week, he got off lightly. I reckon he could have got more. Yeah. But anyway, one week. Hopefully he learns his lesson.
Kudos to the cameraman who was there, figured that out and followed it, because that was clever. That's the sort of thing that puts them above. Said, I reckon there's smoke here, and followed it and got something. That's a non-story if the camera doesn't go. A non-story. Yeah, that's true. A rumor that comes out, but the cameraman got that one. And it's what they're paid for. The one thing that'll come out and be remembered about that match won't be the football, won't even be Ponga's injury. It'll be that incident. It wasn't even on the damn field.
If you're a Knights fan, you're remembering Ponga's injury.
Yeah.
But my ass clown is it's anyone that's calling for Chevy Stewart to be dropped.
Mm-hmm. Well, some people, Arnie J, were calling for him to be dragged at halftime.
I know. And this is a player that we have targeted.
That would have destroyed him. If he got dragged.
100%.
But if he got dragged, it would have destroyed him. The best possible thing that happened was for him to go back out there in the second half and have a vastly improved second half, because that first half was one of the all-time shocking. I mean, I don't know if it's quite Paul Carriage, Steve Maven, but it was one of the all-time shockers you'd ever seen.
He's out of position. It's a lot. There's a lot.
It's tough though too, because you're there in front of, it's pissing down with rain. You've got
exactly
30,000 hillbillies jeering, wanting you to drop the next kick. I mean, he had five errors. And I think they pretty much all were in the first half.
Yeah.
It was interesting looking at his stats as well, though. He's credited with two try assists as well.
For them?
For the Broncos.
And the biggest mistake he made was not being in place for the Billy Walters try. But the club has done, and we laud them each week, how they've managed to target the best young talent in New South Wales and Queensland and get them to Canberra. And that's now Sanders, it's Stewart, it's Strange. They're not Canberra locals.
Mooney.
They're from the Central Coast. It's Mooney from Parramatta.
Blacktown.
That's what I mean, Blacktown, Parramatta. It's Strange from the Central Coast and the Roosters. It's Chevy Stewart from the Sharks. You know, Sanders from Parramatta, who's a junior from there and probably grew up wanting to wear Peter Sterling's jersey. We can't give them two games and pull them. Like, this is now, we're in it. We're in that build, right? And we've had a really great start to the season, but we need to stick with these kids because this is going to be our spine and this is who's going to be playing in 2025, 26, 27. Nathan Cleary didn't come out of the blocks and play great. You know, and admittedly, fullback, you get more isolated, so you get focused on more.
Oh, look, I mean, you look at Billy Slater's first game of Origin, mate, when Gould was coach. He was on the wing and they put up kicks just so they could come down there. Same thing. They put up kicks and then just came in and absolutely belted him.
I remember when I was in Melbourne shooting Offspring, going to watch the round one game when we used to always play Penrith in round one, when Dylan Edwards debuted. And he was shocking for that side. And remember, he couldn't catch a bomb for about half a season. Do you remember? So they picked him. They actually dropped him after a couple months. They brought him back, but he could not catch a bomb to save his life. And he worked on his game. And if you were a young fullback, if I was coaching a young fullback, he's the one player that I would tell him to watch. Yeah, not everyone can do what Reece Walsh does, what Troy Mitchell does, Ryan Pappenhausen even.
No.
Some people can do Teddy, but Chevy Stewart can definitely model his game on Dylan Edwards.
Yeah.
He can definitely model his game a little bit on Teddy. And when we bash Dylan Edwards.
He's tough though, Dylan Edwards is tough. I'm not saying Chevy is.
So Chevy's tough too, mate. You saw that.
I know. He's got to change his running style because emulating Marty Lang. I know he's a Sharks junior. He probably wasn't even born when Marty Lang was running around for the Sharks. That was over 20 years ago. But just running straight in, or the more recent comparisons, Carmichael Hunt. I get that he's trying to keep his game simple. I get he's trying to play tough and just go in there, but it's not smart. And long term. It's not going to be good for you because you look at the way when you see the slow motion of that hit from Hetherington and Ricky on him, the way his head body whiplashed backwards. That's brain trauma.
He won't do that long term. He's doing that to prove to his players that he's there and he's going to show up because he's had a shitty game. So he's like, I'm not going to quit on you guys. Yeah. He won't do that long term. He's too smart. From what I've been told,
look at Savage,
the coaches at the club love him and the club know how smart he is.
You look at Savage. And what he's gotten so good at now is using his pace to get in that gap between the two defenders and finding his front.
But
he used to sort of run and they just catch him.
Or he'd get resold. But Savage also runs and he has that angle. Like he's hitting the tackles like that.
Yeah.
So they're half grabbing him and he's falling forward. He's not often getting turned back. Like Nicky Kotrick runs so upright, right?
Yeah.
Chevy just ran so hard. But that was a one-off where I think he's trying to prove to his teammates, I'm going to try and get you better field position.
But he kind of ran like that. He kind of ran like that against the Titans.
Yeah.
He was running straight back into
that. In the second half he did. But he'll develop some nuance there. But it's just one of those things where my ass clan, I have to say, is anyone that's calling for him to be dropped because he's playing the position that is the most isolated on the field. He obviously had a shocker. But this is we need to get 50 games into this kid.
Yep.
Yeah,
there's absolutely Ricky was stiff. Lots of people were saying, they thought that he wouldn't get named. I mean, I know someone that was saying that Seb Chris should go back there and Schiller should go to center. And
I said it was a possibility. I threw that up as that's something that could happen. I didn't say it should happen. I didn't call for his head and say, put him out there. But I do worry because this is sort of like, I thought we'd polished off Javier Savage a few seasons ago. I thought we'd run him out too early. We'd done him some damage. And as a result, he wasn't going to become what we hoped he would, which he now has. And I do have worries that if you send a player out when they're a
pressure
kid
makes
like
diamonds,
this,
Tim. Pressure makes diamonds.
Yeah, I know, but it also
iron sharpens iron.
It also turns into grey metal that gets crushed under roads. You know, yeah, that's also what pressure does. You got to be careful as well. You can't just throw them out there and say, oh, they'll either sink or swim, because some will swim and some will sink.
But I want him to swim. So we've got to be careful. I think we've already seen in that match whether he'll sink or swim. If he was going to sink, he wouldn't have wanted to come out in the second half. He wouldn't have come out. And the way that he turned around his performance in that second half, and even if you talk to any Broncos fan, any commentator, they'll all say he actually did really well to come out in the second half and stick to his guns and had a much improved performance. And he didn't go into his shell. And he didn't, like, if he got dragged or not picked this weekend, I think it would have done more damage.
I think they've done the right thing. I think they've done the right thing. I was throwing stuff up. I wasn't calling for his head at any stage. Just like for my Ask Clown of the Week, people, and you preyed on this by putting up that damn poll.
I forgot about that poll, saying
that Schiller should be dropped to New South Wales Cup with no chance of redemption. No, no, no. What I was saying in that was,
I didn't say he should be dropped. I should find.
But you said for the rest of the season is what you said.
Well, that's kind of what you were saying, wasn't it?
No, it's not what I was saying. I said if you got other options there, right? And I don't think he's a bad player, and I think he's a good option. I do think we should play him when we need him. But if you've got other options there and it's touch and go, whether you're choosing between him and someone else, like Asamoah can go on a wing, for example, why would you be putting more miles into the player who's leaving as opposed to putting more miles into the player that's staying?
I did sort of agree with your point a little bit, but it was funny that Paul, do you agree with the Pork suggestion that James Schiller should be put back to New South Wales Cup? I did say for the rest of the season.
You did.
Yes. Yes. 22%. Yeah. So some people agreed with you. No, 78%. That's more resounding than like one of Matt's polls.
Well, can you put out another poll this week saying, should James Schiller be dropped because he can't tackle? I mean, Jesus Christ. There's another Raiders podcast who's fallen in love with this kid. Watch the games. He cannot tackle. The first try that Reece Walsh scored, he tries to ankle tap the kid when he could have grabbed him around the hips. And when he tries to ankle tap him and he takes a low risk, a high risk, low percentage option, he forces Chevy Stewart to rush in. He could have shepherded Reece Walsh to Chevy Stewart. He was the reason.
I don't know. I think he just got burned. I know what you're talking about.
He was right on his hip, mate. And then later in the game, when Tomoko's running in, he doesn't run in with his center and he leaves a gap. That's when they scored that try inside the winger. You shouldn't be letting tries on your inside shoulder. You should be.
This is one of the complaints I know that he's got.
And then you have to force them to the wing and force the cover to get over. Mate, if we're going to drop anyone this weekend, and I'm happy for Solzy to call me out, if we're going to drop anyone, it's Schiller. Schiller, he might score the odd try, but we're leaking so many tries down the right-hand side.
Yep.
He let in so many tries against Mortalo. It's a big issue. And just because Solzy might have him in his super coach side, or his NRL fantasy side that he talks about on his podcast, doesn't mean he should be in this side because he is letting in more tries than he's scoring. And I'm done with it.
And now that he's signed
to Newcastle, my point is we should ship him off to Parramatta because they need an outside back, and we should get in the Colonel for the rest of the year. See you later, Schiller. Go and play at Parramatta. I'm done with the Schiller love.
When people are going off about it, like, oh, you play your best 17 is the thing. Oh, it doesn't matter. You play your best 17. It's a business. There's no emotion. What a lot of horseshit. Win matches on the back of the 1%ers that emotion generates. That's how you win matches. If there's no emotion, if it's just business, you have a team of losers. You have a team of mercenaries, and you will always lose. But the thing is, they say, you've got to be in the best. Is he in our best 17? Is he in our best 17?
Well, it's arguable. Attack-wise, he is. I mean, obviously, it's...
I was arguing to drop Jamal Fogarty.
Move on from people on Twitter upsetting you. Ultimately, it comes down...
Blake, there are two sides to rugby league.
Yeah.
Attack and defence.
Yeah.
And his defence is atrocious.
No, I'm saying, and so the other option is...
In his defence, though, he trains at centre and we're playing him at wing. Yeah, and that might be part of it.
Pick a winger.
I agree.
This is the thing. There's two options. It comes down whether you have Joe with currently Nick Kotrick's well down the pecking order. We agree. We probably assuming he's below Asamoah now. It's between James Schiller and Hopper.
Hopper Whitey. And I'd pick Hopper.
Hopper's a lot better defensively. And he's probably a bit better at making, you know, doing the dirty carries and making the tough meters. He played New South Wales Cup last week in the centers. And I had a look at his stats. I didn't get to watch that game, but He had 22 carries for 200 meters. You know, he's an absolute workhorse, and he's a lot better than Schiller in defense. Can he score a wonder try the way Schiller can? No, he can't.
Now Schiller's going to get dropped this weekend after Mulitalo probably puts three.
Mulitalo on Schiller really concerns me. If you watched Ronnie's game last week, he was probably the best player for the show. Yeah, I don't think he was man of the match, but he was just about their best player.
Okay.
Broncos game review. I think we've sort of roundabout way, we've pretty much said everything. Is there anything anyone wants to say?
Congratulations to Tarpano and Savage. They were fantastic.
Yeah, I think Savage, every week you see you know, just his games has gotten better in all aspects. And it was something I think that we've been saying for a while. We've read notes this year, but I also heard Vossi say, was that he's really got a toughness this year to him, which you just never saw. You didn't see that in New South Wales Cup last year. Mm-hmm. You didn't see it in first grade the year before, but you just there's a mongrel in him and there's a toughness in him. And he now is, you know, he's a complete player.
Oh yeah. Simi Sasungi was good.
Yeah. Yeah, man of the match for me. It's the man. I feel sorry for him. He's playing so well, in a side that you know probably is not going to perform that great for the rest of the season. But it's Joe Tarpany again, outstanding, outstanding. Oh, saying to Matt, like he's an 8 out of 10, 8 or 9 out of 10 every week, and even when he has a bad week, he's probably still a 7. I mean, he's one of the most consistent players in NRL. Really, it's hard to think of too many more.
The only thing I'd like to see us as a club is to try and get a quick play the ball off the back of his play the ball. So we all know how they can't put him down.
Yeah.
But we don't want to get stuck in that position that Cronulla did with Aaron Woods a few years ago and Paul Gallen. Newcastle did with David Clemmer, and now the Tigers are, where you've got a guy that can stand in the tackle and kind of then lumbers forward for 3, 4, 5 more metres. And the defensive line can still get reset.
Yeah.
If he's going to do that, which I love because he still gets the offload, and he's still getting those big hard carries. So this is not in good ball sets. This is in bad ball sets out of our own half. We need a quicker, like a Hudson Young. We need someone to find their front on the next
Hudson
carry.
Young's got the size to play the balls in the team.
I know. He actually was a bit quicker on the weekend. I looked at the stats. But
yeah,
we just need someone to get a bit of a quicker run on the next.
Well, that's why James Fisher Harris doesn't actually try and stand and do that. He just throws himself on the ground.
The ground, yeah.
Yeah. He hits the line and he drops.
That's a reasonable thing to do.
It's like touch.
Right? So, but man of the match, Jay Tarpany. And he's a very strong chance of taking home his third consecutive Mininga medal.
It's
safe to assume.
And as well as the Landspeed Blake and the Pork. Landspeed record.
Stack of vouchers.
Yeah, stack of vouchers. Stack of vouchers. He'll turn up one day and he'll claim.
You couldn't get lower odds on Joey Tarpany winning Mount Meninga now with Fogarty out. I mean,
yeah. Matt Timothy is my other smoky, but yeah.
Pretty Harvey S. Savage have not set a foot wrong. Harvey S. can be getting a lot of votes.
It's true.
He's getting a lot of votes from me.
If it's
3-2-1, he's getting at least a 1 in every match he's played.
I bet you if you look back over seasons, usually in the seasons where the team hasn't done very well, a forward gets the player of the year. You notice that? Forwards are usually man of the matches in losses. And usually if you have a really good year, then maybe it's a Jack White or it's a half or someone.
What do you think the chances of Javier getting a call up to Queensland this year are?
It's getting better and better.
It would maybe in the extended squad. I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure.
Tua Lungi's injured. I think there's a chance.
Right. I'm sure that Billy Slater's very aware of.
Yeah, I reckon there's an 18 or a 19 definitely sitting there. He'll be in the larger squad almost certainly. I can't believe that he wouldn't. You know, and like he'll be going up there. Fortunately, he'll be able to hitch a ride with Corey Horsburgh as well. He'll no doubt get a call up.
No doubt,
Big Red.
You're not playing, Tim.
Big Red, no, it'll be great. Okay, look, let's look at the sides for this Sunday.
Hetherington will probably get a start over Big Red at this stage, I'd say.
I don't know. It depends.
Let's go to the teams.
If they allowed them to throw fists again, like they're, you know, that's what State of Origin was built on, throwing fists. Taking it out of the game is just strange. So the Raiders, Chevy Stewart at number one. On one wing, we've got James Schiller. On the other, we've got Javier Savage. In the centres, Timoko and Seb Chris. In the halves, we have Ethan Strange in the six and Kyo Weeks making his debut for the club.
396?
397? I can't remember. It's close.
397.
Now, it's not his first grade debut. He's already
no,
had
he's
first
played
grade
half
debut
dozen
for
games
Manly.
For Manly.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
right. Then in the forwards, we've got Papali'i and Tarpane with Levi Island in between. We've got Hudson Young and Simi Sasangi, who's really...
He's playing six in the second half.
Proving to be a very astute buy. Morgan Smith is at 19. He should be the buy of the season for the NRL at this stage. I don't think anyone's in his league for buy of the season. I think he's the guy. Tom Starling in the 14. Adam Mariota in the 15.
Dean Crichton.
Mooney 16. he's actually played pretty well. Have you been watching them? He's
Luke
been
Brooks.
Playing pretty well. Sami Solo in the 17, which is a... And then we get to...
Top buy in the NRL from the Super League this year.
He's up there as the best
Paul.
Buy.
Yeah,
it's a good... No, I think Smithies has been the best buy for anyone. Will Kennedy, we talked about him last time we played, which was only a couple of weeks ago. Great player. Love watching him play. Hope he doesn't play that well this weekend. Katoa is back after having a nice little suspension. And on the other wing is Ronnie Mulitalo. So great wing combinations there. Jesse Ramian and Kyle Arro, who played against us last time and has been playing pretty good football.
Yeah.
Daniel Atkinson has come into the sixth jersey. And
I know very little about Daniel Atkinson, I've got to say.
No, I don't know anything about him either.
It sounds like a cricketer, doesn't it? Daniel Atkinson bowls off spin from the Paddington end.
Yeah. Do you know
he's a halfback. He's 23, 89 kilos. Born on the 15th of January, 2001. He's from Bris Vegas. He debuted with the Melbourne Storm against Cronulla Sutherland on the 3rd of September, 2021 in round 25.
They've only just brought him there this year, I think. And
his junior club was the Albany Creek Crushers. He's been Shark 557. And yeah, so I don't know.
Interesting thing about our team that we just went through, I just looked back because I kind of thought it was this way. In the trial game against the Cowboys at Seaford, where Weeks and Strange were in the halves together, they actually went... Weeks was named. I don't think it'll make any difference. One will just play one side, one will play the other side. But Weeks was named at six and Strange was named at seven.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Not when you play left, right.
Yeah. But Strange did do more kicking, I think, and probably Strange will be the...
Yeah, I think he will be kicker. Too. Be interesting to see if Levi Island does a lot of kicking too, eh? What do you reckon? He's going to get
it. He's not known for it.
Just three try assists.
Just try assists.
Who's goal kicking?
For us...
It'll be either Chevy Stewart or Ethan Strange. It'll probably be Ethan Strange in that trial game at Seaford. Strange was doing the goal kicking.
Yeah, but on the weekend,
but Weeks
when
is
Fogarty
a goal kicker
went
too.
Off, went, on the weekend when Fogarty went off, Stewart kicked.
Yeah,
didn't he? And he didn't kick great. He's a little too upright, but
yeah.
Weeks is also a goal kicker, so it could be Weeks. It could be Strange and. Here's a bit of a smoky for you, not pork smoky. I think Jimmy Schiller kicks. Pretty sure he kicks. So going back to the Shark side, we've got Thomas Hazelton on one prop, Oregon Kafusi the other, Brake Braley locking in between them.
Superstar.
We've got Brighton.
He's the Ross Blues smoky.
Brighton Nicker, who wasn't playing against us last time.
No.
Teague Wilton in the 12. Then you got Cam McInnes, who was and played quite well. Then you got Jack Williams in the 14. Talakai, still on the bench, the 15 jersey. Toby Rudolph wasn't playing against us last time in the 16. And Braden Hamlin-Ualee in the 17 also wasn't playing against us last time.
Yeah, so on paper, taking Trindle and Atkinson swap out of the equation, that's actually a much stronger Sharks team.
It is.
Than the one we came up against last time. And we were sort of very confident we were going to roll them through the middle and they had a Newtown pack and all the rest of it didn't work out. And actually the players that really hurt us in the middle were not the big boppers that have come back in. It was actually McInnes and Jack Williams.
Yep. McInnes played really
Jack Williams, former Raider 2016 under 20s player of the year.
Mm.
If you also remember, it was that the guy on the extended bench, Tuku Ho Tapua.
Yeah.
He had a great there, 20 minutes. He's not there.
But that's when we get to the extended bench. Who's on the extended bench? Because it is very appropriate that we might be looking at the extended bench. Back in the 18 jersey, Albert Hopewate is back.
Yeah, so he played New South Wales Cup on the week last weekend in the centres.
And
but he's been named at fullback.
Smokey. Is he's coming in, he'll be packing his wing spot. There you go.
Yeah.
He's coming
back. See you later, in. Schiller.
He'll take
Schiller
his...
the gorilla. Go on.
Schiller's going to be a fly off the Eels.
Yeah, yeah. So he'll be line up for the Eels and Colonel Sanders will be on the bus. So continue with the extended bench. Not forgetting this is the favourite segment of the show. We've got Albert Hopewadi, 18. Emre Guler in the 19. Zach Wolford, 20.
Whose favourite is it? Your favourite?
Everyone's favourite. Just everyone's ask. Favorite. Put out a poll. Is
Kevin Harwick's favourite.
Is extended bench your favourite segment? It'll come back unanimous. Everyone loves it. So much winning. You'll get sick of all the winning of the extended bench. Nick Kotrick, 21. And Peter Hollett in the 22. For the Sharks, we got Hiroti. Big Tuku is there on extended bench. Samuel Stonestreet, he's been pushed out by Katoa getting back, but has
had a great game last week.
Royce Hunt.
Sounds like a wrestler.
Now, Royce Hunt is on there, but he's obviously not going to bring him back because there's no Big Red to get in a fight with him. So we're all missing out. And then Cade Dykes on there. Look.
See, Cade Dykes was the one who I thought would go because he's either a fullback or a six, son, of course, of the great Adam Dykes.
Look, I think that's that extended bench goes to the Raiders on the basis that Emre Guler has played in a grand final there and no one on the other side.
He's a Turkish international.
And so has Nick Kotrick.
He's such a delight.
Grand final. So on the basis of that, we're going to win it. But that's a pretty good extended bench there for the Sharks. But Pork Smokey, Hopewadi in, Schiller out.
Yeah, good reason.
It's not happening. It's not happening. Referee Peter Goff, touch judges John Stone and Drew Ultram. And
in the bunker is my best friend, Jerry Sutton.
Speaking of Sutton, what the hell? Is Ryan Sutton still injured? What the hell is happening to Ryan Sutton?
No, Ryan's injured. He's out. He's out injured.
What's wrong with him?
Knee, I believe.
Plotteritis.
For God's sake, leave him alone. He's a lovely
man.
He's
got a giant case of plotteritis.
You're calling it like you see it today, aren't you, Matthew?
Yeah I'm drinking tequila, so I'm feeling it. But
right,
if anyone thinks James Schiller's better than Seb Chris, please at me because you're a moron, honestly.
Right, there you go. All right, so
I mean, well, look, we're just to cover off on the Schiller thing.
I tell you, someone
logical point of view.
Yeah,
yeah. What were you gonna say, Tim?
Oh no, you keep going.
Okay. The thing about James Schiller is he wants to play center. Newcastle have offered him a spot in center. Center is a position that has probably a higher pay rate than winger, especially. And I think that the club has learnt from the Nick Kotrick experience that you don't pay big money for wingers.
No.
And hopefully we never will again. And they've probably offered him, realistically, they see him. I know he trained in the offseason at center. I know he's played center in lower grades, etc. But they probably saw him in first grade as a winger, and they probably offered him money accordingly. So he's probably offered $200,000 to $300,000 to stay at the Raiders, and the Knights came in with an offer of say $400,000 to $500,000. Yeah, you know, so he stood to get over $1 million going to the Knights. So good luck to him, you know, and I hope he does well. And look, I love watching him play. He's very exciting, but yeah, his defense is his downfall.
Yeah, mate, I love watching him play too. And I know I'm shitting on him and it's all for a bit of a laugh, but he's a fantastic player. He can run behind the ruck when the ruck's getting tired. He's
great in the air. Great in the air.
Yeah, there's so many great things about him and he's developing, but he's been fast tracked at Newcastle because I think they've recognized that Gagai's probably going to leave and maybe go to the Roosters. Because you know, the Roosters always have a backup plan. So they're losing Manu and Suoli'i. So they've obviously targeted Gagai. And now
they love an old man.
Schiller's been offered that opportunity and I want him to go and I want him to succeed. I don't death threaten any player that leaves, but I'm not going to admit that he's I don't think he's better than Seb Chris, who I rate very, very, very highly. Whether he's better than Hopewadi, it's up to debate. In attack, he probably is.
He's better than Hopewadi in attack. But I guess the thing about
defense, he's clearly not.
And getting back to what sort of Tim's saying is, like, what I love. I mean, Hopewadi has his limitations and his flaws or whatever else, but he is as a wholehearted, committed team player.
100%. If you want to see a better performance, go back and watch the Schiller performance this year. Go back and watch the first half. In the Cowboys trial, Hopewadi playing fullback at Seaford Oval. He was doing two or three carries every set. He was committed. He was putting in more into the jersey than I've seen most players, you know.
Yeah.
And well, I know, and that other podcast, they death ride him a little bit, but he'll get back in the side. And look, Schiller looks fantastic in open field, but we're leaking a lot of points and we weren't earlier in the year. And it's as simple as that. So
Interesting. So Hoppawattie's playing fullback this weekend in New South Wales Cup. Yeah. So maybe, you know, if things don't, if Chevy needs a rest or things don't work out with Chevy, maybe there is a plan to
To my point, I was going to say to both of you guys when we were talking about Chevy Stewart, we've always said he's not going to play the rest of the season, but you can't drop him after a bad game. So let him play this weekend. Maybe let him play another weekend. And then,
after the bye, everything's about the bye.
It's all about the bye.
You can set your watches to the bye.
I already have.
I'm always thinking two byes ahead, Matt.
Well, our second bye is in about 6 weeks.
Blake Bobby Fisher. Budak. The bye man.
Let's hear from someone who always makes a lot of sense. Arnie J.
Rip in with Arnie J.
G'day, Raiders fans. Pretty disappointing loss last week, but I'm sure the boys have picked that apart at length. The good news is that we have an opportunity to right a wrong from only a month or so ago. We had the Sharks on the rack early in the match and then fell to water like an early morning roadside police drug test. Winning after golden point games is very hard. I went back from 22 onwards, and after every golden point game, the teams have a record of 11 wins, 17 losses and a draw. And before you eagle-eye math whizzes tell me that doesn't add up, you need to keep in mind that we lost our golden point game last year in the finals, and we didn't play again. Our team list has no surprises. The Sharks have named Daniel Atkinson at 6, Cam McGuinness at 13, so both are clear targets for us. On top of that, their front row wouldn't make our bench, so Ricky's message should be pretty clear in this regard. I could even make an argument that their bench forwards should be starting, so that is also a win for us. Having said that, their second row and back five is strong. Our kicking won't be as good as Fogg, so let's not try and pretend to be. Kick to space, find the grass, and plenty of numbers in our chasing line. One final point for our players is the Sharks have scored 59% of their tries on their left. Schiller hasn't been amazing in defence for us, so he will continue to get plenty of traffic his way on Sunday. We have only scored 14% of our tries up the guts this year, but with our team changes and their middles, I expect that percentage to climb this weekend. Best of luck to all our young blokes. We can win if they can all lift a bit. Enjoy your week and go, you green machine.
Yeah.
A lot of sense, you say.
He's a bit of a hothead. I told you he wanted to drag. He's got some crazy theories.
he wanted to drag Chevy after 40 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, he didn't. It was earlier than that.
Look, Steve
Maven style in the pub, you know, before full time. Had a shower, got changed in the pub before the game's over.
Yeah.
Well, watch the rest of the game on the TV.
Maven didn't get changed. He just went straight to the pub. He was still in his gear.
Was he?
Yeah, he was still in his gear.
It was the Cauliflower Hotel, you know that?
Oh, unbelievable. God.
This is the second week in a row that there's some breaking news.
I know. Really sad. I saw it before. And I didn't mention it, but yeah, Terry Hill has passed away, shockingly, in the Philippines of a heart attack. I saw that before. Yeah. So young.
I have to admit, you know, like watching, oh my God, I've met Terry. Watching the Raiders with our young side, you know, and we had Daly and Meninga in the centres go up against Danny Moore and Terry Hill at Brookvale Oval, you know, like it was a game that it was must watch television.
Yeah.
And look, a lot of people remember Terry for the shenanigans in the footy show, but he was a bloody good football player.
Oh, yeah. Terry Hill is the reason why we don't have a draft in the league, because he was at Wests and he wanted to go to the Roosters. And under the draft, you know, he wasn't going to get to go to the Roosters.
He was going to go to West, and he came out, he did the restraint.
I think he was at West.
No, he was picked by West and he didn't want to. He wanted to go to Manly.
So they challenged the draft.
He challenged and he brought out the restraint of trade, and he won because it was a restraint of trade. But all drafts basically are. The thing is, and the reason they succeeded then they shouldn't have was it might be a restraint of trade for this. If you want to play in this competition, yes, these are the rules, but it's not restraining you for playing your trade in another rugby league competition or in a, and that's what's got over in the future, would say, these are the rules of this competition. If you want to play your sport as a sportsman, you can go to another one that allows you to go wherever you want, but these are the rules of our competition. So in these days, it would have lost. Then the thing. Won.
Here's the thing. So he was actually at Souths. 1990, debuted at Souths. Mm-hmm. And then he won Wests. We're going to get him under the draft, but he wanted to go to East. So then he played 1991, 13 games at East. Then he, but then he did go to Wests for 33 games, then Manly, 126, West Tigers, and then back to Manly again.
Yeah, because you know why? Because they paid him. Like,
yeah.
Well, he was, and he played some great test matches for the Kangaroos. I remember watching him, and he was the difference. You might not love him. And I know a lot of Raiders fans probably don't because he was often up against our elite centres. But when Terry Hill played for the Kangaroos, he was often the best player on the field.
14 games of Origin. Yeah. And, of course, the iconic photo with Raging Bull, you know, nose to nose. Yeah. Very sad. Yeah. Very sad. Especially when you realise these people are the same age as you at toys, you know. Bit of a shock. Dropping dead of a heart attack, you know. Get your heart checked.
Yeah, do. Get your heart checked. Absolutely get your heart checked. It's a very good thing to do. Yes. Well, that's brought definitely a somber mood to this, which was
very
so
somber.
So light and joy.
We could turn it back to like just James Schiller hate. I'm happy to go there. But
well,
all right,
we're not into reasons cheerful yet. We're going to be talking about someone that can maybe give a bit more.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Who's got a lift?
Ooh. Okay, so I'll do Matt's James Beep Schiller.
No, it's very easy. Who's got a lift? Kyo. I mean, yes, I know you always say I'm being hard on someone coming in and playing their first thing, but if someone's going to come up and really make a fist of it, it's him. And his mate in the sixth jersey, Ethan, who's been playing fantastic football, is Ethan Strange. They are kids. Yeah. We talked about the Supermax coming through in 99. It's their time. They've got to come through. They're serious first graders. They've got to come and grab this team by the scruff of the neck, and they've got to show us what they've got. And they've got to list.
It's tough to say, but it might be Kaya. But Jesus, man, imagine starting like at halfback. He hasn't played halfback in first grade. When you look outside, you got Ethan Strange, who's in his ninth game or whatever. You got Chevy Stewart, and he's in his third game. Danny Levi.
Yeah. But, look, we speculated last week whether it was the youngest ever Raiders side with an average age of 24. This team's younger. And you look at the spine, you take Danny Levi out of the equation. Between them, fullback six and seven have got like maybe 12 games of first grade between them.
But if you go off. There are certain other sports.
You take Papali'i out of the side, and all of a sudden, you know, you take Papali'i and Fogarty out of the side, which unfortunately.
Well, Fogarty's out. So the only people that would be.
You take their average age, all of a sudden, it's got to plummet through the floor.
We should actually do this and put a little tweet out about it because one of the things that Premier League coaches want to do, and Pep Guardiola did it, Michael Arteta's doing it now, is that they mold one young side out of their image. And it doesn't always happen in rugby league because there's only now 17 clubs, but they get an opportunity to create one side out of their image. And if that side does well, Mourinho did it in Portugal, Pep did it with Barcelona, then they take them, you know, the distance and win all these accolades, then they might be able to jump up the tree. This is a chance where, you know, Ricky now, he's reinvented the Raiders a couple of times. When he came in, he got rid of Fensham, he got rid of the big fella, the proper we sent to Gold Coast.
Shillington.
He got rid of and the other guy, the giant guy.
Saint Hills.
No. Bigger.
Tom Leroy Lars.
Shannon Boyd.
Big Shannon. Oh, he did get rid of Shannon.
No, yeah, they wanted to
Shannon was one that he was bringing through. Shannon then went and took a big offer at the Gold Coast.
Yeah, and also
the thought Shannon would come back and play for the Raiders again.
Also, the thing that happened with Shannon was Volandi's balls came in and it basically was designed against him. Yeah.
So now, Ricky clearly, and he believes in loyalty, and to his credit, or maybe to his detriment, and a lot of us have probably sort of criticised him for it is certain players have gone a bit too long, you know, like we talk about Croker or Whitehead or whatever it might be. But now there's no excuses. And people are now applauding Ricky because, you know, the assistant staff that he's brought in and the attacking football that we're playing, well, the Band-Aid's off now. It is well and truly off. And no matter what happens in the next few months of football, the Canberra Raiders Rugby League Club will be in a better position next year than if this stuff didn't happen. Do you know what I mean? Like, we were always going to struggle to get to top four, and it was going to take getting numbers into these players. Well, we're getting them in there because Rupper got injured, Fogarty got injured. Sanders is playing first grade. Watch him, Raiders fans. Watch Sanders.
Yeah, it'll be interesting actually to watch because it's been a long time since we've had a signing. We don't get a lot of signings well in advance like most other teams do. And probably the last one I can really think of was Aiden Caesar when he signed from the Gold Coast. But then I watched every Gold Coast game that point on with a keen eye, you know.
So maybe I'll wait 10 days because remember when we signed Tedesco and he backflipped? And then we...
Yes, I do. Yes,
that was a rough week.
It was a rough week.
I hate Robbie Farah because of that.
Well,
yeah. Dave Ferner hates him too, so you're not alone.
They don't like each other at all.
Yeah, I've got no one else to. I've got no one else that I think needs to lift. But Matt's pretty much covered them all. But are there any more reasons to be cheerful?
Reasons to be cheerful, part three.
It's always reasons to be cheerful. One.
You've changed your tone at the start. Like I said, you're pretty dark.
Yeah, we're getting you there.
He's let go of top four, but I reckon he's going to tell us we're still going to make the eight. Tim?
We're going to find out this weekend, aren't we?
Yeah.
We're going to find out. The blowtorch is now on the belly, kids. This is when you go down. You've had a plan. You knew what was going to happen. It's now been ripped away from you. It's not going to happen this way. Now you've got to look at yourself. You've got to take a long walk through the room of mirrors. Have a good look at yourself, decide, am I a first grade player and can I make a difference? Am I going to hit that line with intent? Am I going
to
keep
We
coming?
Don't want Sherry
am
to hit that take, line with as much
time. Am I going to take the spirit of Jordan Rapana? Am I going to take the spirit of Jordan Rapana and say, I don't care who is against me over there. I'm going to go up against you harder than you come at me and I'm going to sledge you while I'm doing it. I'm going to make you eat grass when I'm getting up. I am going to niggly. I'm going to be a pain and I'm going to keep coming at you until you relent.
So going off the coaches at the Raiders, another reason to be cheerful is actually KO's kicking game. It's pretty amazing. He just hasn't been able to put it in play. So I'm
there you go.
That.
Well, something to look forward to. I hope that we sort of take the shackles off a bit with the game. Because, I mean, like I know I sort of said before, I think Ricky sort of had told the kids to keep their roles pretty simple and just let Jamal run the show. But hopefully we see Chevy a bit more involved.
Yeah,
in attack.
I think we will. It'll be more like Cup last year.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for. And you know, and if we try and sort of grind it out with the Sharks, you know, the Sharks have got points in them.
They do. And absolutely, they will score points.
Yeah, and so if we play too conservatively, we're not going to be able to win the game. I don't think it's like a Titans where we can just grind it out and just get over the top of them. I think
played them, we were up 18 points to nil.
Yeah,
we got complacent and we started dropping the ball. We dropped the ball and dropped the ball and dropped the ball and dropped the ball.
Yeah.
We need to not drop the ball because when we do drop the ball, we lose. In the first half, ball security is all. We'll keep in the arm wrestle and then let the better bench, the increased fitness, whatever, and the home crowd advantage take us home.
But I'm saying I don't know.
Squeeze hard, hold the ball.
I don't know that we have a better bench. I don't know that we have a better bench, and I don't know that we have, you know what I mean? I don't think advantages are necessarily there up against the Sharks team because Jack Williams and Cameron McGinnis are those smaller middles that you know, go all game, and they ran over the top of us last time.
What I'd like to see is, remember watching Cup last year, those short side plays where Strange would run down the short side and, like, cut out the centre and hit Savage, or he'd hit Chevy Stewart, you know, like... Strange, Stewart, and Savage had a combination last year in Cup that could win a first grade game. I think it's incumbent on them to step up. So we might see this could be the making of Chevy Stewart, but this could be the making of Ethan Strange. You know, we don't necessarily need to have KO Week step up. Like, Strange is going to have to step up as well. And I just, there was some incredible attack last year in Cup that I feel like they might be working on those plays leading up to this game because they all played together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like these same players played together and played amazing attacking football. So
they did. And this time they'll be behind a better pack too.
100%.
So now, but here's a question for you, right? Going back to the Colonel Sanders, he's been named to play his debut for Parramatta this weekend. What would you be prepared to send to Parramatta out of our top 30? It'd have to be at the top 30. We're already accepting Jimmy Schiller is on the table. In order to get Ethan Sanders here immediately, what would you give up, Blake?
James Schiller and Nick Kotrick.
Right, that's a package deal there. Mm-hmm. Okay, and James Schiller for you, right? Now, what if they came? What? And I'm just putting out this because I do not want this to happen. What if they came a knocking for Trey Mooney?
No.
No, I'm saying no too.
Well, it depends. He may have already signed. He may. It depends because he's unsigned beyond this season. So it depends. I would certainly, if he was signed with us beyond this season, I wouldn't be releasing him. If he's not going to be here next year and he was going to be signing for Parramatta, say, I'd be prepared to let him go now. Yes.
He's a para junior.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
They don't need middles though. They need edges.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, maybe.
It's
but
the Bulldogs.
Okay.
It's the Bulldogs. If Trey Mooney's signing for anywhere or not, it's the Bulldogs. That rumor is floating around.
Yeah, a lot of people have been saying that, but yeah. We also think that's utter crap. You got some feedback from listeners.
We do. So I always love hearing from listeners. I also love hearing from people that we haven't necessarily heard from in the past. We got one message from Olivia Boyd. Love Matt's green eyes for the Raiders. We have the best forwards in the competition, the best backs in the competition, and the best kicker in the competition. Well, we did up until last weekend. Mm-hmm. And most
love you,
of
Olivia.
Our,
you're not wrong.
I think she's kind of saying what you're saying. And most of our squad should be in Origin this year. Love it.
That's Tim. That's not me.
And then we also got another bit of feedback. Melissa, great podcast as always. Thank you, Melissa, for saying that. Sad about Schiller and was thinking about a good replacement for him. Whatever happened to our Superman lookalike, Elijah Anderson? I know he broke his leg, but then what? I thought he was tops and would be great to bring back to the club. Mm. So he moved back to Queensland.
Yeah,
at the
did.
End of last year, and I don't know that he's playing football. I don't know what he's up to.
No, he got two major serious injuries in a row, and I'm not sure he came back from the second one.
We did come back. He was playing,
but there was a broken leg and there was a knee.
Yeah, no, he was. I'm sure it was. He did actually come back, but I just don't think that.
What about Brad Morcos? Where's he?
I was wondering about Brad Morcos.
Didn't he go to Canterbury?
No, Brad Morcos went back to Wollongong. He took the year off football, right? But Brad
he was playing
Morcos,
in Shell Harbour.
Yeah. I saw Brad Morcos just buying a beer actually at the CIFA trial, and he looked like he looked fit enough to be running out in the field. So he certainly hadn't let himself go.
Well, I'll tell you, someone else who's fit enough to run out in the field. No one's talked about it yet. Is my old mate from Cooma. You know, he's in great shape. Sammy Williams. He's fit.
He's fit. He's firing.
He's kicking goals to tie the match for the Queanbeyan Kangaroos 2 weeks
Been
ago.
Been there, done that. Knows how to lead a side around the field. Sammy?
Yeah, well, I mean,
he does, but like if it was week 22 and we needed to win two of our last four games to make the finals, yeah. But if it's week 7 or 8, which it is now, just we're on a 5-year plan now and it's the beginning.
Yeah, I know.
You can't deviate from that. You know?
We always thought that this year was going to be a rebuilding year and we were building towards 25.
You always thought.
Well, I did. And that was the logical summation. The only people
it wasn't because while Jamal was there, we were looking good. Like
the only people,
like I said, it's Jamal's injuries there.
Don't say you were right.
Tragedy has struck and now you're coming in like it's justified your thoughts.
The only people that thought otherwise were you and Rapper, who said, no, we can go all the way this year. And look, after some great performances at the start of the year, the goalposts shifted and our expectations moved and we all got a bit excited. But actually, if you look at who we've beaten so far this year and who we've lost to, even with Jamal, the only teams we've beaten have been all the struggling sides. So I think, you know, when we've come up against the better sides, we have lost. You know, and obviously I think that's a trend that's going to continue. I don't think we can get the spoon by any means, but, you know, I think we'll lose more games than we'll win.
But that's glass half empty, right? You could look at it half full. We were a shitty decision against Tarpanay in that try to beat the Warriors because we would have been 10 up with 14 minutes to play. We were a little inexperienced in the game against Cronulla, 18-0 up, with that terrible captain's challenge call, which cost us, which would have put us 24-0 up, and the game was out of hand against Sharks. And then on the weekend, half those tries were scored off fifth tackle option kicks, and we're playing an 18-year-old at fullback who's out of position half the time. Yeah. He was out of position off the scrum against the Gold Coast. He was terribly out of position against Billy Walters' try. Yeah.
Well, it's some of those tries.
He's learning the position.
It's kind of like when they score the try and you go, I can't, he's not even in the frame. I don't know where he was.
Because he's learning the hardest position to play. Like, and he's 18, you know, it's, and we just spoke an hour ago about how Dylan Edwards, Billy Slater, for God's sake, you know, Teddy, like these guys, they come in and they need time. I remember Teddy when he first came into Balmain, he wasn't amazing.
No, he did his knee in his debut game and then he had a lot of bad luck with injuries.
I remember he had a cello in his first couple of games.
Yeah, you know.
He struggled.
Yeah, he was a winger though. We've got merchandise.
We do.
Selling well. RugbyLeagueMerch.com. Just look under bestsellers. You'll find our stuff right at the top there. We've also,
by the way, did you see the picture of the pork running the race last week with his Blake shirt on? I send that through as promised.
Do you want me to post that? Can I spread disseminate that widely, or is it?
I wore the Blake t-shirt. I wore the running belt, and I wore shorts. Incidentally, shorts bad call. Fell down in the first 500 meters around my ankles. I had to stop.
James Tedesco style.
Yeah,
were you running around in circles and then you tripped over your own shorts?
And I was wearing.
Was your crack as hairy as? Was your crack as hairy as James?
Worse. And I was wearing the shorts they bought me last Father's Day, which had pictures of my dog Daisy's face all over them.
There you go.
So really take it up there. But fortunately, everyone thought I was you, so it was easy.
Yeah, fantastic. Raiders by 56 beanies. We've still got a few available. Order one now online from landspeed.com.au and we'll throw in some stickers as well. Whatever platform you're listening on, iTunes or Spotify or something else, subscribe. That way you won't miss an episode. They're sort of coming out on Thursdays. They either come out on Wednesdays or Thursdays. Thursdays for the time being. Coming up after this weekend, we go after Brookvale Oval. Now, I've got some good news for you, Matt.
The sandpit.
Great friend of the show, Dennis Carnahan, who also works with the ABC and regularly broadcasts from Brookvale Oval, got in touch and said that during COVID, they totally redid Brookvale Oval, the surface. It's no longer a sand base. It's all modern field turf.
Wow. And, fixed it.
Yeah, they fixed it. So we got to move on from that one.
But I was going to say fake. I was going to say fake news, but no, it was a disaster. So I'm glad that they fixed it.
Yeah, because at the end of the day, Manly don't want their own players get injured either. And then, after the game, Brookvale, the one Matt's been waiting for, round 10.
It's all coming, people. The bye.
The bye.
The bye.
Here comes the bye.
2 points. 2 points. Lock it in. 2 points.
2 points.
How are you going to spend your bye weekend, Matt?
You got something special planned?
Yeah, I might just watch replays of the 2019 grand final up until the 60-something minute. No, I was just in Vegas. So I'm not going to go there. Maybe I'll just sit in a quiet room screaming at a television and cussing the rugby league gods because we just lost arguably the most influential player in rugby league.
For a team, I mean, obviously Newcastle losing Ponga is huge, but it's for us, it's kind of the equivalent.
I know, and it bothers me that I've been watching Sydney media and no one's mentioned it. No one's mentioned it.
You know what? Do you know what, Matt? Fuck him.
Fuck him.
What Ricky said? Fuck him.
Fuck him.
Put it on the dressing room.
You can get a t-shirt that says that from Rugby League Match as well.
Then we come back from the bye and we go to Magic Round where, once more, we're in the coveted 6 p.m. Friday night spot against the Bulldogs, which will be the 30th anniversary of our last premiership win.
Yeah, apparently we're not wearing the heritage jerseys. Don't believe
I was there. I was at that game.
The 94 grand final?
I wasn't far from where Paul Ozzy Osborne slipped the pass to Kenny Nagus.
Oh, I was also at that, and I was about 25 meters behind you diagonally to the more to the middle of the
greatest game of all time, because within 15 minutes you knew you were going to win it. So yeah. It was like a party.
Yeah,
exactly. We got some tickets from someone through the paper, and it turned out we were right in the middle of the Canterbury Bankstown supporters, like
amazing.
Dead set right in the middle of them, and I was terrified. And by about the 20th minute, they were all quiet, and we just like, yeah. We've got to be calm, we've got to be nice, and we've got to be friendly around here, because otherwise we're going to get beaten to a bloody pulp. We waited till after the match to really celebrate.
Alrighty, that's it for this week.
It is. You've been listening to Raiders of View with Blake and the Pork and Matthew. I don't know. Is there a point in going on? I don't know.
Have you got a song for us this week or no song?
Yeah, there'll be a couple.
You've done them?
No, I've written them. I just haven't recorded them yet.
Right. Okay.
All right. All right.
All right.
All right.
See you guys.
See you.
There it goes again. Just when I've begun to believe we're the real deal, we're looking pretty strong and nothing's going wrong. Then we suffer another massive injury. There it goes again. Just when we've got a game plan working nicely, you mark up in defense and then you're on the bench, and pretty soon you are preparing for surgery. All we had to do was have some luck, and we're challenging all their defenses. But leave it up to fate, and in a little while they're scoring easy tries and writing off our chances. There it goes again, looking grimmer than a casualty. What should do and upsetting me so that all I really know, our chances came again. And there they go, oh, 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 oh. There they go. Season has come and passed, our top four run could never last. Wake me up when the season ends. Like Campisi come to pass, our early form has gone so fast. Wake me up when the season ends. Here come the tears again, falling from my eyes, drenched in our pain again, accepting who we are. As Fogarty rests, never forget what we lost. Wake me up when the season ends.